Support for Tested comes from Duke Health, reminding listeners that COVID-19 vaccines are safe, effective, and can protect individuals and others from the virus. Together, communities can end this pandemic. Find sites for a free vaccine at dukehealth.org.
This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how we're responding to the day's challenges in North Carolina and the South. I'm Rusty Jacobs. By all measures, 2020 was an extraordinary election year. Record-setting voter turnout, a tsunami-like surge in mail-in ballots, and deep partisan rancor, all amid a global pandemic. These factors posed unprecedented challenges for elections officials across North Carolina and the country.
My name is Jason Dedman. I'm the elections director here at the Onslow County Board of Elections. I can guarantee you that more money was spent in the 2020 election than probably any other election.
Even with federal COVID relief through the CARES Act on top of the regular budget approved by his county's commissioners, Dedman couldn't cover the added cost of processing the unusually large number of absentee ballots and making polling places sanitary and well-spaced enough to accommodate in-person voters.
We also had the highest turnout ever, the largest amount of one-stop locations, the longest hours, because the state had an idea to, you know, spread out the voting and try to get people in early and have the longer hours so there wasn't like a large group of people at one time where they could get the coronavirus.
Onslow was one of 10 North Carolina counties that applied for and received grants from the Schwarzenegger Institute for State and Global Policy at the University of Southern California. The institute was founded, of course, by the former Republican governor of California and movie star Arnold Schwarzenegger. Greene County Elections Director Trey Cash also applied for a Schwarzenegger grant.
One stop, early voting. We had a person that greeted every person at the door and offered a mask if they didn't have a mask, and helped with the line and spacing to make sure we had social distance in our line. And then we also had an additional worker that was cleaning behind every voter that voted on the polling station. So once they voted, we wiped it down clean with Clorox wipes. If we wouldn't have had the extra money, we wouldn't have been able to hire so many people to help at one-stop early voting and on election day to ensure the safety of our voters.
Talking to local elections directors like Trey Cash and Jason Dedmond, one would think the use of contributions from private organizations was a smashing success. But along with efforts to tighten restrictions on absentee by mail voting, Republican lawmakers and state legislatures across the country have taken aim at the use of private funds for elections administration, all in the name of what they call security and integrity.
Our job basically is to look for gaps or deficiencies in our state laws and to try to fix them.
Republican Warren Daniel co-chairs the North Carolina Senate's Elections and Redistricting Committee and is one of the sponsors of a bill that would ban elections administrators from using contributions from private organizations.
This was something that was identified coming out of the 2020 election where private funding had been inserted into the election apparatus, you know, the vote counting process. And, you know, we took a look at the state statute and it was silent. And so we just felt like it was something we needed to address. And we just felt like that when millions of dollars of private money are inserted into an election administration process, it's not a recipe for instilling public confidence.
To be clear, there's no indication that such private contributions were used in what Senator Daniel called the vote counting process. They were used to purchase single-use pens, hand sanitizer, to help recruit poll workers, and to inform voters about the absentee-by-mail process. I brought this up with Senator Daniel. Looking back on 2020, in this particular example, it did not seem to create a problem, right? I mean, I've spoken with elections directors in various counties and also Karen Brinson Bell, the executive director of the State Board of Elections, and it seems clear there were no strings attached to the money that did come into the state to help with the elections amid the COVID pandemic.
I don't think that was our concern as much as just the principle that private you know, private special interest groups shouldn't be funding a government process of counting votes. You know, and regardless of who it is, whether it's Mark Zuckerberg or it's the Koch brothers, you know, we think that it's just not appropriate for that to happen.
The name Zuckerberg comes up a lot in conversations about this issue, especially with Republican lawmakers.
I think anything that can cast doubt or undermine the legitimacy of the 2020 election in the eyes of Trump supporters is something that they want.
Rick Hassan is an elections law expert and professor at UC Irvine.
There's absolutely no evidence that the money that has come in from these private sources was used for anything but sound election administration principles. No reason to believe there was any corruption, but it's a neat fat target, especially when you have Mark Zuckerberg giving a lot of that money and Mark Zuckerberg being the head of Facebook, which has deplatformed Trump for at least 2 years because of his incendiary rhetoric surrounding the January 6th insurrection and the legitimacy of the 2020 election.
Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, did contribute tens of millions of dollars to help elections administrators across the country in 2020. Those funds were distributed by the Center for Election Innovation and Research, whose executive director and founder is David Becker.
I got a call from Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan, their representatives, and they said, we'd like to help. And from my organization's perspective, they asked me what would be very helpful. And I knew from talking to state election officials that they were having a really hard time keeping all of their voters informed about how they could successfully navigate the election process safely. They were going to have more voters than ever before, more new voters than ever before. Polling places had been changed. Poll workers needed to be recruited. And so they needed to get the word out. They needed to do voter education, totally nonpartisan of all voters. These expenses included things like PPE, hand sanitizer, disposable pens, plexiglass shields. Rules were being changed all over the place, and just simple things like where polling places were, because we needed larger polling places that could accommodate more social distancing. They needed to recruit more poll workers, new poll workers, people who were younger than the people who had previously volunteered. This all cost a lot of money, and the funds were simply not there. They were not being provided by government.
I spoke to North Carolina State Board of Elections Executive Director Karen Brinson Bell about whether the use of private funds raised any red flags for her.
With all of these organizations that were either granting us goods or granting us funds, they said, how can we help make voting safe for any and all involved in elections, be it the voters or be it the workers? And when that was the clear message, you know, no strings attached to those funds, that it was just imperative that we look at, you know, was that something we could receive? And we felt like, yes, we could. And then what could we best use that for?
I mean, we're talking about buying single-use pens, masks, being able to encourage volunteers to work at the polls by maybe increasing the bonuses they could receive or the stipends they get. And this is what most of that private money went to, right?
That's right. I mean, there's been a lot of focus on one source of funds, but, you know, even we received an enormous amount of hand sanitizer that came from Anheuser-Busch, PayPal, McDonald's. That came through the National Association of State Election Directors and the National Association of Secretary of State, through those corporations giving directly to elections. So while that may not have been monetary, it was a private contribution. That was probably the first thing that we encountered. And then there became some foundations that were willing to work either at the state level or the county level. And so we used that for, as you indicated in your question, we used that for single-use pens. We used it for bonuses for the one-stop early voting workers who work a 17-day period with our highest turnout in this past the 2020 election, and in pretty much all of our most recent elections is when we have the highest turnout. So they were, you know, in harm's way.
Among the monetary contributions the State Elections Board received were grants totaling more than $3 million from the nonpartisan Nonprofit Center for Tech and Civic Life and more than $1.4 million from the Center for Election Innovation and Research to cover the costs of sending two direct mailings to each North Carolina household with information about mail-in ballot procedures. But are questions about the use of contributions from private organizations in elections administration valid? Professor Rachel Cobb says yes, in the long term. Cobb chairs the Political Science and Legal Studies Department at Suffolk University in Boston and focuses on elections administration and political participation.
It made sense in this emergency situation to do what needed to be done, but relying on private funds is not sustainable over time for a variety of reasons. Plus, I don't think elections should essentially be seen as public-private partnerships. And the funding of them should be something that states, the federal government, and locales come up with formulas that are sustainable and that work for the kinds of voting that we will do into the future. So this is a moment to think about what we have to do in order to fund our elections well. But having private funds, those can dry up, or they can be seen as having undue influence. So there's the perception of them along with what they actually are doing.
And that perception is exactly what comes up in my conversations with Republican lawmakers here in North Carolina that would support a ban on getting private contributions for elections administration. But from you, I'd love your perspective on how much that perception squares with reality. And again, the reality is limited because it's really 2020 that we first saw the use of private funds widely for elections administration.
Right. I mean, election administrators, when they are doing their job, their goal is to do their jobs well. And that means that they want accurate results. They want everything to run smoothly. And they are not interested in partisan politics. So there's no indication that this group of really dedicated civil servants who take their jobs incredibly seriously and literally stay up all night and do what needs to be done so that we get accurate results, that they would misuse these funds. I mean, there is no evidence that I have ever seen that would lead us to think that.
And Cobb also says she doesn't think philanthropic organizations are contributing funds to elections administration for profit or to exert undue influence on public policy.
They're doing it so that the work gets done. At the same time, as we all know, philanthropies go through their periods of what they want to fund and what they don't want to fund. Like there's the funding du jour. And then they say, well, you know, elections, you need to go figure it out. And if we've been starting to rely on this source of funding and it dries up, we don't have a good election because we don't have the funding that we need in order to pull it off. So that's one worry. And then the perception worry is simply the perception of, do you know that your election is funded by X, Y, or Z? And how, you know, there, I can't even imagine the terrible ways that could be spun because I don't think that way, but I think that's the other worry.
The concern is not so much that there's actual undue influence, but that it could be exploited by partisan actors to undermine public confidence.
Precisely.
How confident are you that state, local governments, federal government will put up the funds needed to avoid drawing money from private organizations ready to step in?
I am not fully confident. I want to raise the moment of 2002 when Congress, in a bipartisan manner, passed the Help America Vote Act and did dedicate funds to it. There was unanimous, but widespread agreement that what had happened in Florida in 2000 was problematic, and that there are so many issues had been raised about hanging chads and machinery and lists and all of that. And so a lot of effort and money was put into modernizing our election system. That spirit does not exist today.
David Becker of the Center for Election Innovation and Research agrees that providing adequate funding of elections is and should be the sole domain of local, state, and federal government. Becker says there's no way that turning to private organizations to help pay for the 2020 elections was plan A.
Honestly, government should step up to the plate at the federal level, at the state level, and provide the resources to the professional election administrators, Republicans, Democrats, nonpartisans, to facilitate democracy, to make sure the election experience, particularly when you've got 160 million people voting for the first time in American history, in the middle of a global pandemic, is going to be convenient, secure, and safe. And government failed to do that.
Now that we've identified a plan B, though, do you think that that is an option that should continue to be available?
The more constructive way of approaching it would be to say we're going to guarantee adequate funding from here on out so that that need never exists. Because the option of having inadequately funded elections should not be on the table. And that's what the bans on private funding essentially does. It says that there might be a prospect where election officials don't have adequate resources. We're not going to give them the resources as the legislature, and they can't get them from other sources.
So what do you make of the effort to impose those bans?
Almost all of these efforts, along with many other laws that are being considered in the states, are based on a complete lie. They're based on the lie that there was somehow something wrong with the election in 2020. And the fact is, the 2020 election in North Carolina and nationwide was the most secure, transparent, and verified election in American history.
In 2021, seven states, including Arizona, Texas, and Florida, have enacted laws that ban or restrict funding from private groups for elections administration. All of those states have a Republican governor and a Republican-controlled legislature. GOP-led legislatures in 17 states have had bills filed this year that would ban private funding for elections, with such legislation still pending in five of those states, including North Carolina. And on its website, the conservative advocacy group Heritage Action for America, which is the activist arm of the Heritage Foundation, lists banning private contributions for elections administration as one of its policy recommendations for state governments.
We're not passing it as a base motivator, if that's sort of the thought. In fact, I don't really think this is a bill that would probably even do that. It's so technical.
Again, Senator Warren Daniel.
We picked targeted topics that we thought these are some ways that Republicans and Democrats ought to agree that we should shore up our election systems. And this was just one of them.
Gotcha.
And we felt like Democrats and Republicans should agree on it, because you could have millions of dollars of money flowing in from special interests of all viewpoints. They're welcome. These groups, they're welcome to donate this to the general fund and allow the general assembly to appropriate it. I mean, I think if they want to do that, that's the appropriate way for them to donate money to the state.
Let me use that point to turn to this one question. I know that Don Davis, a Democratic senator from Pitt County, has proposed legislation that's related to the proposed ban on private funding for elections administration. And his bill would kind of set up an authority that would both determine when such funds can use and if and when, how they should be allotted. And I'm wondering how much attention you and your fellow Senate leaders have paid attention to that legislation.
Not a lot. I think generally, Republicans are opposed to creating more bureaucracy to do more and more things, especially new commissions. And so I think that the legislature is the best group to appropriate money. And certainly if we're in session, we can act in a rapid manner.
One of the reasons I asked was I noticed that of the states that have enacted such legislation, Tennessee, their legislation actually creates some carve-outs. There are exceptions for using kind of private funds for sanitizer, volunteer labor, election info advertising, voting space. And I'm wondering if additional legislation or additional provisions in the legislation proposed here in North Carolina should consider such carve-outs for those unforeseen circumstances.
I think this bill, it's passed one chamber. It's in the House. Certainly, I think the question you raise is a legitimate one that people ought to debate. And so I think, it's something that we might should think about as the bill goes forward.
The North Carolina General Assembly is focused primarily on budget negotiations these days. State Board of Elections officials are watching that process closely, hoping budget writers will authorize the board's use of federal Help America Vote Act money already allocated to fund 30 positions in cybersecurity. Earlier versions of the budget raised alarms by denying the State Elections Board authorization to use those available funds. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Rusty Jacobs.